This is The Food Fix, a podcast where we talk to researchers and innovators about how to better feed the world. Hello. Thanks for joining me for another episode of The Food Fix. I'm your host, Taylor Holterman, and today you're hearing the second episode of a series put together by reporters here at Michigan State University. This one features Danielle James. She interviews Bevan Cohen, the founder of the Michigan Seed Library Network. The network provides seeds for communities across Michigan with the hopes that library users will return seeds from what they grow, just like checking out and returning a typical library book. But they've struggled with low seed return rates, and Bevan has some plans he hopes will help fix that. Here's the story.
Many community members in largely urban areas know firsthand the struggle of accessing fresh produce, especially when local grocery stores can be expensive. But Michiganders in a similar situation could find an alternative with my next guest.
Hello, I am here with Bevan Cohen, the president of the Michigan Seed Library Network, and he's here to tell us a little bit about seed libraries across the state. So, you know, let's start simple. Could you just tell me a little bit about a seed library, what it is and how it works?
Oh, absolutely. I would love to. So a seed library functions much like many other offerings from your traditional library, except it's based around seeds, of course. So just like you would visit your library to check out books to take home, you'd visit your seed library, which is often housed within an actual traditional library, and you'd check out these seeds. And then you take the seeds home to your gardens and you grow them and you enjoy that delicious produce. And then in the fall, you harvest your seeds from your garden and you bring them back to the library. Just like you bring your book back to the library when you finish reading it, you bring your seeds back in the fall and restock your seed library with new locally adapted seeds for your fellow community members to enjoy and check out the following spring.
And you know, how does a resource like that help community members in Michigan?
In so many ways. You know, I guess first and foremost, by offering seeds, free seeds to folks that for some reason or another may not be able to have access to seeds, this increases their access to a variety of seeds, vegetables and flowers and herbs and all sorts of stuff. But you know, the seed library also acts as a hub for community building. Like-minded folks get to come together, spend some time together, learn from each other. We can share our ideas in the gardens, our challenges, our successes. You know, it becomes a place where people can come together and just learn from each other, have a shared experience around gardening. We can learn to grow our own food, how to preserve our harvest, delicious meals to enjoy. There are so many benefits to a seed library. I don't know how long your show is, Danielle, but we could probably talk about it all day long.
Well, that's awesome. It seems like it's something you're really passionate about. You know, how did you get started and how did you get into working with the network?
It was probably around 2015. I'd been invited to a library, to a gardening program that I was going to lead. The South Lyon Library is where it was at. And where it's Pam Quackenbush is the librarian there. And she actually was running one of the first seed libraries I'd ever encountered. One of the first seed libraries here in the state of Michigan. It actually opened in 2013. And I was just absolutely fascinated with the concept of a seed dispersal hub, which is essentially what the seed library is. What a fun idea it was. And I kind of latched onto that concept and I thought, I wish that more communities had something like this that they could offer. Pam's seed library opened in 2013. By 2016, there was maybe 30 seed libraries here in Michigan. So it was quite an uptick. It was pretty exciting. But we realized that so many folks that were interested in starting a seed library for their community, they had the same questions, the same challenges. You know, we seemed to need to reinvent the wheel over and over for each community. And we thought, well, what if we had a central hub for the seed libraries, one central place where they could come and get their information to learn how to get a seed library started for their community. And through that became the seed library, the Michigan Seed Library Network Initiative is that kind of where that got launched. It's really taken on a life of its own since then over the years, you know, so that would have been, 6 years ago now. And the seed libraries in Michigan have grown exponentially. There's so many more of them now. And the hub has become just like this dynamic community of seed librarians and gardeners and all these interested people. It's just such a beautiful thing to see in action.
That's great to hear. You're up to around 100 in Michigan. Is that correct?
We're closer to 125. Just this spring, in the last 2 weeks alone, I've gone to four new seed library openings. So we're pushing 125, which is significant if you think about it. Nationwide, there's probably around, they say, 600 or so nationwide. 125 of them are here in Michigan. So now each library has different needs. Each community has different needs. Each library has different resources, you know, so everybody's kind of got a different thing going. So there's no one hard, fast rule to what we do. So the Michigan Seed Library Network sort of is like an umbrella, if you will, an umbrella organization. Mainly what we're offering right now is educational programming for these different libraries, helping them develop programs for throughout the year. Of course, establishing the seed libraries is very, very important. So we help with that. We have two initiatives that I think really connect with a lot of seed libraries. Every fall, we have a Michigan Seed Librarian Summit, where we have a gathering of all the seed librarians in the state, where we have programmings and presenters, and we share some ideas and work through how did things go this year? You know, what were the challenges? What were our greatest successes? So we can develop these programs for future years to come. And then in the last couple of years, we launched an initiative that we call One Seed, One State, which is just really, really fun thing. So what we thought would be a cool thing to do is to create a distribution where we send seeds out to all the interested libraries, and not even necessarily seed libraries, any library interested in trying out what a seed library might be like. And we provide them with the seeds and the envelopes and the information to distribute to their community, all geared around one seed. Now this year, our seed is the Boston Pickling Cucumber. So we're distributing these cucumber seeds to all these interested libraries. We have over 100 libraries signed up for the program so far. And we just thought it'd be a nice shared experience where everybody has an opportunity to grow one particular seed. So we can all have this experience to grow these seeds and learn how to share these seeds together. And then we can gather together through our Facebook community and that sort of thing. And everybody can share pictures and talk about their cucumbers and, you know, just have that shared experience, that community building, which is really what's at the heart of any seed sharing initiative.
And, you know, one of the things that really has interested me most about the seed library, as opposed to other types of initiatives, is people bringing them back. Are there any concerns with quality when people bring seeds back? How do you make sure that they're viable and that they're, going to work the next season?
Well, you know, getting folks to bring back the seeds is the greatest challenge of the whole program. You know, the national average on seed returns is somewhere around 5%. About 5% of the seeds that go out get to see a seed return later in the year, which is pretty minimal. So that is our greatest challenge. And then on top of that, when folks do bring back seeds, like you're saying, there's that quality control issue. So it really comes down to education, helping people understand how to save their seeds, why to save their seeds, and ensuring that they're bringing back quality seeds. On top of that, we want to make sure that the seed librarians themselves have the education that they need to quality control the seeds that are coming in. So they know how to check the seeds. They know how to do germ testing. They know how to teach the community about pollination, all those types of things. It's a multi-layered thing to ensure that we're getting seeds coming back. But if folks are bringing back seeds, that's a win for sure. So everything that we can do to help people learn the best way to save their seeds, that's critical. So, you know, that's a great question because that's such an important part of the program.
You know, how do you sustain momentum when people, you know, you do get that 5% rate and people don't bring their seeds back in?
So, you know, the beauty of the seed library is everybody understands the benefits of it. So seed companies are more than willing to donate seeds to these programs year after year. And we rely on that to make sure that we can keep a ready supply of seeds to distribute to these communities as we work on the education component. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to connecting with the community and educating them on how to grow their food and to save their seeds, you know. So I always recommend with these libraries that if they have the resources available to have continuous programming throughout the year, even if it was just once a month, you know, we could have the seed distribution days in the spring, how to plant your seeds, square foot gardening, natural pest control, but also how to harvest your food, how to cook your food, preserve the harvest. This continual engagement throughout the year, really, you see that uptick in returns because people, they're fully engaged in the whole process. They know how to grow the food. They know how to eat the food at the end, which is obviously the most important part, right? And then they learn how to save their seeds and bring them back. So it's all about that continuous relationship. Really. And that's how these programs succeed.
Of course. And that sounds, you know, very valuable. I guess last question I have for you is, what would you want to say to someone, you know, interested in starting or visiting a seed library across the state?
Do it, right? I mean, you know, that's the simple answer, I suppose. But if folks are interested in learning more about seed libraries, if they want to find a seed library near them, or if they want to get some information on how to start a seed library, I would recommend that they visit our website, which is MichiganSeedNetwork.org. MICSeedNetwork.org is the easiest way to connect with us. There's an interactive map that shows all of the seed libraries in Michigan. It'll give you their contact info so you can follow up with them. And hopefully there is a seed library in your community. But if not, there's a ton of resources right on that website to help walk you through the steps to get one started. Contact information, you can get in touch with me or other fellow members of the Michigan Seed Library Network Board. And we will do whatever we can to help get a program established in your community as well.
Awesome. Well, you know, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. I think this is really something that a lot of listeners will be interested in, but I really do appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate it as well, Danielle. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
This has been Danielle James for Food Fix.
Thanks, Danielle. You've arrived at the end of another episode of The Food Fix. Thank you so much for tuning in. We release a new episode every Tuesday at 5 a.m. You can join me right back here for the next episode on Tuesday, May 10th, if you're interested in hearing more. Until then, you can follow us and reach out on Facebook and Twitter at MSU Food Fix to join in on the conversation. This podcast is brought to you by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism, and I've been your host, Taylor Holterman. You've been listening to The Food Fix.